growing opportunity right now.
And, you know, certainly in our database from a managed care payer perspective, if they go into observations, that's not tracked as a readmit, would be excluded from our metrics as we track this on a routine basis.
Susanna, do you want to comment?
Yeah, I do. It's a great question. It's something our group has been thinking a lot about. So currently, as the person who asked the question, sorry, I missed your name, pointed out, if you come back to a hospital in observation status and are not formally admitted, that would not show up in this measure. We have begun to look at this issue. Right now, the rates of that happening are very low, but not surprisingly, are increasing a little bit. And I think that this is something that CMS plans to track and would consider, you know, based on what they're seeing there. It doesn't seem to be having much of an impact on the measures right now, but I think it is something that's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and this is Don. I would expect next time we do this review that it'll be a much more interesting question.
So will you be, this is Chuck, will you be prospectively just monitoring that going forward or at what point in time? Because obviously with the whole CMS readmission payment methodology, I assume facilities and accountable care and all these other organizations would look to manage these to an observation kind of status if they can at all. So your monitoring of this data, at what point would you have further data relative to that, if that's the right question?
That's a great question. So we have done some preliminary analyses, and I can talk to CMS about whether, they are not public at this point, but I can talk to CMS about whether we could bring them to share with the steering committee at the time of the review of this measure.
That would be helpful, Susanna. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other concerns or questions, issues for the work group members on reliability and validity and risk adjustment? How about the other criteria of usability and feasibility? For the raters who've already submitted, they're generally high to moderate ratings. No real issues identified. Thoughts from any of the other members of the work group?
I have the same view.
Okay. All right. Amazing how it doesn't take long to talk about the outcome measures. Okay. So we're just scampering through these quite quickly. So the next measure is another outcome measure, sort of the pair to the previous one, 468. This is the 30-day all-cause risk-adjusted mortality rate for pneumonia hospitalization. And Dr. Pelicone, I think this is yours.
Yes. Well, I'm the first to admit that this stretches my knowledge of the statistical analysis. Okay. However, it's certainly what I think what the measure emphasizes is the potential effect of comorbidities and their effect on the treatment of the pneumonia, you know, including things like the type of unit in which the patient's placed and the intensity of control of those other comorbidities, like the intensity of control of diabetes, et cetera. So it is a measure to assess how the hospital is doing compared to the expected deaths based on the case mix. But, you know, I could use a little help here on some of the other statistical analysis.
Sure. Well, why don't we start with importance, just to review the opportunity for improvement. This measure has been used for several years, and the mean for the 2007 to 2009 is 11.7%, but the range is 6.9 to 20.4%. So it's a fairly significant range, with the interquartile range at 10.4%. One of the things that we are doing in-house in terms of the scientific acceptability for some of these more complicated measures, but this is something we're gearing up to do a pilot for that I think might be helpful, is we do have some of our folks in-house with some external consultants gearing up to look at some of the more complex measures, particularly with some of these risk adjustment methodologies. And they are in a position to do kind of a first-pass review to highlight some of the issues that the steering committee probably want to consider or be aware of in looking at some of these more complex measures. And in talking with my colleagues, it looks like they would be able to provide that for you a couple of weeks before the steering committee meeting if you would find it to be helpful as kind of a trial, and you can tell us how helpful it is or isn't for you. So that's something I can provide for you before the meeting, if that would be helpful.
Yep.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Any other thoughts? I believe this measure has been around a while. Does anyone have any thoughts on the usability, feasibility of this measure? I think one of the issues that commonly comes up in terms of feasibility is capturing the 30-day, the deaths that occur outside the hospital within the 30-day window, in terms of how that's done and the time frames. Any concerns or questions about that?
So it includes those deaths outside the hospital, not just in the hospital.
Correct.
Yes.
This is Don. I actually don't have any concerns about it at all. I mean, not that there aren't opportunities for haphazard error, but I don't see any systematic problems.
Okay. All right. Susanna, just because we see this in comment whenever one of these type of measures comes up, and we've seen these before in cardiovascular. Would you like to just maybe explain really quickly the source of that data that you use, particularly in the all-payer data set?
I am not the expert on my team on this matter, so I can bring you more information. But the California all-payer data set actually links to, I think, the Death Master file. I think it's related to the Social Security data, but I can confirm that for you. And so that's the source there. Now, for the mortality measure, I was thinking about readmission measure for a moment. Yeah. And, of course, the CMS data is updated quite regularly, their enrollment file, with vital status data.
Okay. Yeah. And this is a question that comes up. Perhaps, many of the stakeholders are heard the response with some of the other measures, but it's often a topic that gets raised. So are there any other issues? Another question that gets raised a lot is we've seen a measure for inpatient mortality, and we now have the measure for 30-day mortality. Your thoughts on the usefulness of one or the other or both measures?
I think you have. This is Dave Rue. I think you have to have both because, there's always the caveat of sort of like squeezing the balloon with what happens inside of the hospital. Patients may get sent out. They may actually do better for their in-hospital, but then they die outside of the hospital. So you have to cover that entire episode of care. And for us to just focus on one area would really send the message that, hey, it's okay to really ignore the other area.
Yeah, this is Don. I agree completely with Dave. If you were only asking me about readmissions, I was cynical and money grubbing, I would hope that they all died real quickly after I discharged them, because you can't get readmitted then.
Right. Okay. Again, that's another question that pops up. So I'm glad to see that you guys feel comfortable with that. Now, our next measure 513, is one that didn't fit into the pneumonia group. It got added in here and is more of an imaging measure. Is Dr. Casaruni with us today? All right. She's our radiologist member of the committee, and she's the lead for this particular measure. And I would I just ask the other committee members, do you feel that you would want to wait for her kind of lead on the discussion of this measure rather than try and stumble through it ourselves today?
Well, this is Don. This one to me looked like a no-brainer, and I had no concerns with it. And I would score it much like it's scored right now.
Okay.
Yeah, this is John Pellicone. I mean, I agree with this as well. But this question comes up every day in clinical practice, and you just have to know. You've got to know your parameters, and you've got to know what you're looking for. And you certainly have the opportunity to discuss it with the radiologist, and there really is almost no reason to have both of them.
Yeah,
okay.
And the only weakness of the measure and I don't think it's enough to get rid of the measure, is the clear link. I'm not as convinced the clear link to a global patient outcome, but there still is enough information that I'm not bothered by it at all.
I think in many ways this is looked at as a potential sort of two-element overuse measure as well as a patient safety measure.
Yeah.
As really,
this is Chris Wetzel. My only concern was, and the reason I said that I thought it had an outcome measure is the concentration that we're doing here on our facility of contrast related to renal function and effect on renal function. And did this group think that that's where they were trying to go with this?
Well, we do have. Do we have anybody from our from the major developer who'd like to maybe just respond to that? Anybody from CMS or their contractor? Perhaps not. I mean, traditionally, Christine, the discussion around this measure is usually. I think you're right, the patient safety aspect of the contrast.
Okay.
And appropriate use thereof.
Taken in a risk-benefit context, especially in the setting of renal insufficiency.
Right.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we're expecting at the meeting, Dr. Casarini will be able to bring the radiology perspective in as well. So we sort of have the balance of thinking around this measure. But if you all feel that there aren't any major issues with it, then we can move on. You guys are the most efficient group around. Okay, we've got our last measure on our list for today, and that's measure 1895. And this is assessment of mental status for community-acquired bacterial pneumonia. And, Christy, I guess this one's yours.
Yes. I can just say I'm in awe of all the discussion that has gone on these other measures. I kind of looked at it a different way, and I kind of thought this one was a no-brainer that we should be doing this.
Christy, this is Don. I agree with you completely. I mean, this is one of the other big ticket by any scoring system you use to prognose outcomes. So if you don't do it, you can't possibly really know. This is invariably the single biggest modifier of someone's assessment with acute community-acquired pneumonia. So this parallels oximetry with even more oomph behind it.
I kind of thought with the oximetry discussion, because I did kind of correlate those two together when I was reading through these, and the discussion earlier where it needed to be done within so many hours of admission, I kind of think might be applicable to this one also.
Yep, you're probably right. I just don't know what that time would be. Clearly, assessing level of consciousness or mental status the 5 minutes before discharge after a 10-day hospitalization wouldn't be helpful.
Right.
Any other comments from the other members in terms of the testing of the measure, the reliability and the validity of the measure? We do have the results of the testing of the EHR measure, I believe. And in terms of usability, feasibility, I guess one of the questions I would ask the committee is, you know, we've seen two measures. You've identified them as important elements. Is this the kind of thing we want to see perhaps combined, you know, into a measure that has all of these important elements together rather than separate individual measures that could get parsed out or picked apart?
That would make sense if we could show that the timing of the measurements were similar. Yeah, I don't know that that's true for them yet. I just don't think we know yet.
Okay. All right. So, again, usability, feasibility for these measures, work group members don't seem to have any particular issues or concerns.
was there a specific way that mental status is supposed to be assessed using like a mini mental status exam, or do we specify the exact methodology? Or is it to anyone's discretion, or I don't remember if it was laid out.
Sam, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, it doesn't specify. There's no specific tool that's required. It just has to be an assessment of mental status.
I mean, I think that's a little bit of a challenge because somebody's interpretation of ISS, yeah, they're awake versus I did a full mini mental status exam is that could lead to some variability in terms of how it's applied.
I'm sorry, if I could just add, thank you for that comment, and I think that that's certainly very valid. I just looked at the documentation we have just a little bit closer, and we do provide a definition of what assessed may include, although it still doesn't get to the level of specificity that was suggested. It just says that it may include documentation by a clinician that the patient's mental status is noted, for example, patient is oriented or disoriented.
So that's all you need to know to satisfy if they're oriented or disoriented?
Yeah, so the measure doesn't, I mean, someone could do a mini mental status or a very thorough assessment. It's just as a minimum essentially says you'd have to include some type of notation related to their orientation, but certainly you could do something more extensive.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's such a, it's hard to know what the level, I mean, there's oriented to person, place, time, situation, and, you know, I mean, it's so hard to know where do you stop or draw the line and say that just leave it to them to return it. But there's got to be some level of specification, I would presume, to make it fully reproducible and consistent.
You know, the rub on this is that if you look at most of the prospectively assembled cohort trials, they either don't define it or use a fairly loose rule, and the retrospective ones take anything that's available. So, while I agree with you from a design standpoint, where it emanates from, that type of consistency just doesn't exist yet, to my knowledge, having done a couple of these trials.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other thoughts on that particular measure? All right. As I mentioned, you guys buzzed through these quite quickly. Just to let you know what's going on, to follow up, for those of you in the work group that haven't submitted your thoughts and ratings for all of the measures, we'd ask that you do that because we want to prepare a summary of your kind of group ratings and your thoughts and comments that will assist the presentation and discussion of the meeting of the measure at the meeting. At the meeting, we're going to ask each of the lead discussants to walk the committee through the major criteria. So we'll want you to report out, you know, your thoughts on how well the measure meets, you know, the opportunity for improvement, meets the evidence, because the entire group will make a final decision on the rating for those. Similarly for reliability and validity and usability, feasibility, and then there will be an overall recommendation. So that'll give you something to kind of think and prepare yourself for your role as a lead discussant for the various measures at the meeting. So any questions or thoughts from the work group members?
No, this is great. I sent you an email. If you could just send me the SurveyMonkey link. I don't know that I saved it, so I can finish out the scoring.
Great, we'll do. We can do that. We'll send one out to everybody just as a reminder. And I think everybody got David's slide set. We sent that before the meeting. So we will be creating sort of a summary. And as I mentioned, both the transcript and recording of this call will be posted. We'll use the transcript to create the summary of your discussion and for your discussion points. And we will be getting that to you ahead of the meeting. So that will help your role as lead discussants and committee members in evaluating all of the measures that will be here. Also, the one measure that fell off our desk, we will be sending to you, and if you could take a look at that as well, and we'll have that on the agenda for the meeting. Katie, Jessica, and I are here and available if you have any questions or there's any concerns or issues you want to raise in preparing for the meeting, and we're happy to help you through it. Otherwise, if we've got no further comments from the steering committee, I'll ask our operator, Kelly, would you see if there are any questions or concerns from public comment, please?
Certainly. At this time, if you do have a question or comment, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And we have no questions or comments at this time.
Thanks, Kelly. All right. If there's nothing else from the steering committee, then hearing none, thank you all very much for being with us. To our measure developers also as well, thank you very much for being with us. And we're all pulling everything together to meet in March, and I look forward to seeing you all then. Thanks all very much for your time today.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us.